Happy birthday. I am going to read a book I've read to all my children and probably my brothers and sisters, and I love this book. I could read it to the whole world. It's just so much fun. It's Mrs. Pigglewiggle by Betty McDonald. Chapter 1, Mrs. Pigglewiggle Herself. I expect I might as well begin by telling you all about Mrs. Pigglewiggle so that whenever I mention her name, which I do very often in this book, you will not interrupt and ask, "Who is Mrs. Pigglewiggle? What does she look like? How big is she? How old is she? What color is her hair? Is her hair long? Does she wear high heels? Does she have any children? Is there a Mr. Pigglewiggle?" Mrs. Pigglewiggle lives here in our town. She is very small and has a hump on her back. When children ask her about the hump, she says, "Oh, that's a big lump of magic. Sometimes it turns me into a witch, other times into a dwarf or a fairy, and on special occasions, it makes me into a queen." The children are all very envious of the hump, because besides being magic, it is such a convenient, fastening place for wings. Mrs. Pigglewiggle has brown, sparkly eyes and brown hair, which she keeps very long, almost to her knees, so the children can comb it. She usually wears it on top of her head in a knot, unless someone has been combing it, and then she has braids or long wet curls or long hair just hanging with a jeweled crown or flowers on top. One day I saw her digging in her garden wearing the jeweled crown and with her hair billowing down her back. She waved gaily and said, "I promised Betsy," Betsy is one of her children friends, "that I would not touch this hair until she came home from school," and she went on with her digging. Mrs. Pigglewiggle's skin is a goldy brown, and she has a warm, spicy, sugar cookie smell that is very comforting to children who are sad about something. Her clothes are all brown and never look crisp and pressed because they are used for dress-up. She wears felt hats, which the children poke and twist into witches and pirates' hats, and she does not mind it at all. Sunday mornings, she takes one of the hats off the closet shelf, gives it a few thumps, pulls it firmly down fore and aft, and wears it to church. She wears very high heels all the time and is glad to let the little girls borrow her shoes. Mrs. Pigglewiggle has no family at all. She says that her husband, Mr. Pigglewiggle, was a pirate, and after he had buried all of his treasure in the backyard, he died. She just has herself and Wag, her dog, and Lightfoot, her cat. The most remarkable thing about Mrs. Pigglewiggle is her house, which is upside down. It is a little brown house, and sitting there in its tangly garden, it looks like a small brown puppy lying on its back with its feet in the air. Mrs. Pigglewiggle says that when she was a little girl, she used to lie in bed and gaze up at the ceiling and wonder what it would be like if the house were upside down. And so when she grew up and built her own house, she had it built upside down just to see. The bathroom, the kitchen, and the staircase are right side up. They are more convenient that way. You can easily see that you could not cook on an upside down stove or wash dishes in an upside down sink or walk up upside down stairs. In the living room of her house is a large chandelier, and instead of being on the ceiling, it is on the floor. Of course, it is really on the ceiling, but the ceiling is the floor, and so it is on the floor, and the children turn on the lights and then squat around it, pretending it is a campfire. Mrs. Pigglewiggle says that her chandelier is the only one in town which is put to any real use. Her bedrooms all have slidey boards in them, because if you will look up at your attic ceiling, you will see that a slanty ceiling, when turned upside down, makes a fine slidey board. Also, all the wall lights are very close to the floor and handy for the small children. For the first 5 or 10 years after the house was built, Mrs. Pigglewiggle climbed in and out of her rooms over the high doorways, but now she has little steps, which are just the thing to practice jumping. She gives the children chalk so they can mark on the rug how far they jump. Nobody knows how old Mrs. Pigglewiggle is. She says she doesn't know herself. She says, what difference does it make how old I am when I shall never grow any bigger? Mrs. Pigglewiggle's dog Wag has puppies every once in a while, and so she keeps a long list of names of children who want them on the blackboard in her kitchen. For Lightfoot the cat's kittens, she has a long waiting list on the blackboard in the dining room. Mrs. Pigglewiggle's backyard is full of big holes where small boys dig for Mr. Pigglewiggle's buried treasure, and her front yard is full of flowers which the little girls pick, jam into vases, and place about her living room or carry to their teachers. Every child in town is a friend of Mrs. Pigglewiggle's, but she knows very few of their parents. She says grown-ups make her nervous. For the first year after she built her house, Mrs. Pigglewiggle lived there all by herself, except for Wag and Lightfoot, and she was very lonely. Then one dark, rainy afternoon, when she was baking sugar cookies and thinking how much fun it would be if she knew someone besides Wag and Lightfoot to invite for tea, she happened to look out of her kitchen window, and there, coming up the street in the pouring rain, dragging a big suitcase and bawling, was a little girl. Mrs. Pigglewiggle wiped the flour off her hands and hurried right out into the rain and invited the little girl in for tea. The little girl's name was Mary Lou Robertson, and she was 8 years old and quite fat, and she was running away from home. She told Mrs. Pigglewiggle all this after she had drunk 3 cups of cambric tea and eaten 7 sugar cookies. She said, "I'm running away from home because I hate to wash dishes. All I do is wash dishes. I am just a servant. Dishes, dishes, dishes. Wash, dry, put away. That's all I do. My mother doesn't love me at all. She isn't my real mother anyway. She probably got me out of an orphanage just to wash her dishes." Mary Lou began to cry again so that the 8th sugar cookie got quite soggy before she finished it. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, "Isn't she your real mother?" Mary Lou said, "Well, she says she is, but no real mother would make you wash dishes. Wash dishes! Wash dishes!" "Now that's a funny thing," said Mrs. Pigglewiggle. "I mean, you're hating to wash dishes so much because, you see, I like to wash dishes. In fact, I enjoy washing dishes so much that a cause of great sorrow to me is the fact that the only dishes I must wash are for Wag, Lightfoot, and me. 3 or 4 dishes a meal, that's all. When I wash dishes, When I wash dishes, Mary Lou, I pretend that I am a beautiful princess with long, golden, curly hair." Mary Lou's hair was jet black and braided into 2 stiff little pigtails. "And apple blossom skin and forget-me-not blue eyes. I have been captured by a wicked witch, and my only chance to get free is to wash every single dish and have the whole kitchen sparkly clean before the clock strikes. For when the clock strikes, the witch will come down and inspect to see if there is a crumb anywhere, if there are pots and pans that have been put away wet, if the silverware has been thrown in the drawer, or if the sink has not been scrubbed out. The witch will have me in her power for another year." Mrs. Pigglewiggle looked at the clock and jumped up. "It is 4:10, Princess, and we have so much to do. Hurry, hurry, hurry." Mary Lou also jumped up and began carrying the tea things to the sink, and Mrs. Pigglewiggle whisked them in and out of the dishwater, and Mary Lou dried them, and Mrs. Pigglewiggle hurried as fast as she could and put the cookie things away, and every once in a while she would stop and say, "Hark, Princess, do you hear the thump of the witch's big gnarly cane?" Then Mary Lou, her braids bobbing up and down with excitement, would say, "I hear it, Princess. It is coming closer and closer." Soon the kitchen sparkled, the dishes were washed and dried and put away, and every crumb had been swept off the floor. Mary Lou even curled Lightfoot's tail neatly around her legs and smoothed Wag's fur. Just before the clock struck, Mrs. Pigglewiggle said to Mary Lou, "Princess, I must leave you now, but show the witch your work, and oh, I do hope you will be freed." Then she went upstairs, and pretty soon down the stairs came a terrible old witch with a long black dress, a tall black hat, and a big gnarly black cane. Mary Lou was very scared until she saw the sparkly eyes of Mrs. Pigglewiggle under the black hat. She showed the witch the kitchen, and the witch took out the cookie pans and carried them over to the light to see if they were clean and dry. She got down on her knees, squeaking like a rusty gate, to see if Mary Lou had swept under the stove. She felt inside the teacups to see if there was sugar in the bottoms, and she put on her glasses to examine the sink. But she could not find anything wrong, so she handed Mary Lou the key to the kitchen door and screeched out, "You are free, princess, but I will get you again, never fear." The witch clumped back up the stairs, and in a few minutes down came Mrs. Pigglewiggle. "Well," said Mrs. Pigglewiggle, "do you see why I like to wash dishes?" Mary Lou said, "Oh, Mrs. Pigglewiggle, that was the most fun I've ever had." Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, "Of course you can have more than fun than I can, because you have so many more dishes to wash. If I only had more dishes and could take longer, I would be a princess with curly yellow, long hair, apple blossom skin, blue eyes, and a beautiful voice, and I would sing sad songs over the dishpan. Also, if I had more dishes, I would have the witch ride through the night on a broomstick, and I would creep out on the back porch to see if she was coming. I could hear her land with a thump on the roof, and I would slip upstairs to see if she was going to slide down the chimney or thump down the stairs. Oh, there would be ever so many exciting things to pretend if only I had more dishes to wash." After a while, it stopped raining, and the sun came out, and Mary Lou took her suitcase and went home. That night, her mother, it really was her mother, of course, almost fainted when she came out to the kitchen exactly 27 minutes after dinner, and Mary Lou was sweeping the floor, and all the dishes were washed and dried and put away, and everything was immaculate, like perfect. Mrs. Robertson rushed in and called Mary Lou's father, and he came out to the kitchen and pretended to fall on the floor with surprise. And then he said to Mary Lou's mother, "I like your new maid, madam. In fact, she is so much better than Tilly Slopwash, who used to be here, that I think we should invite her to the moving picture show some early evening, to the movies." Then Mary Lou told them all about Mrs. Pigglewiggle, and Mary Lou's mother said, "Oh, yes, I remember seeing that odd little house. She sounds like a charming friend. And if you are certain that she invited you, you may go over there after school tomorrow." The next day after school, Mary Lou went to see Mrs. Pigglewiggle. She took her best friend Kitty Wheeling with her, and Mrs. Pigglewiggle was very glad to see them and showed them through her upside-down house and served tea and cookies. Kitty said, her mouth full of cookie, "My worst trouble is bed-making. I just cannot get them smooth. I'd much rather wash dishes like Mary Lou, but Mother won't let me change with my sister, Sally, who washes the dishes, until I have learned to make beds properly. Oh, I just despise to make beds." Mrs. Pigglewiggle poured herself another cup of tea, gave a saucer of cream to Lightfoot and four cookies to Wag, and then said, "If you think you have a hard time making beds, Kitty, imagine how hard it is for me. You see, the cruel queen sleeps in my beds every night and inspects them every morning, and if she finds a single wrinkle, even one as big as a pin, she will have me thrown in a dungeon. Come upstairs and I'll show you how I have to make beds." They went upstairs, and Mrs. Pigglewiggle threw the covers clear off the foot of one of her own beds. Then she had Kitty help her make it, and when they finished, it was as smooth as the floor, no wrinkles. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, "The secret is to throw the covers way back. You simply cannot smooth up a bed, because if you do, there might be a wrinkle down by the foot. And of course, the cruel queen will find it out. And then down into the dungeon." Mrs. Pigglewiggle took the bed all apart again and said, "Now, Kitty, you and Mary Lou make the bed while I tell the cruel queen you are ready for inspection." She went into the closet and shut the door. When she came out, just as Kitty and Mary Lou finished the bed, she was no longer Mrs. Pigglewiggle, but the wicked, haughty, cruel queen. On her head, she wore a glittering, jeweled crown. Her hair hung down her back in deep waves. Around her shoulders, she had a purple fur-trimmed robe, and on her face, she wore a smile so cruel it made Kitty's teeth chatter. She stalked over to the bed and lay down. With her gold slippers, she felt the bottom of the bed. With her ringed fingers, she felt the top of the sides. She stood up, and with her scepter, she pulled back the spread to see if the pillows were wrinkled. Everything was perfect. The cruel queen's face became convulsed with fury. She yelled, "Not a wrinkle! Not a single lump! I am furious! But never fear, little slaves. My day will come, and into the dungeon you will go." "Come, my servants, we will go." Mrs. Pigglewiggle stalked into the closet. That was the beginning of Mrs. Pigglewiggle's friendship with the children. The next day, Mary Lou and Kitty and Kitty's little brother Bobby and Bobby's friend Dickie went to Mrs. Pigglewiggle's for tea. And the next day they came and each brought someone else, and pretty soon every single child in town had been or was going to Mrs. Pigglewiggle's house. She showed Bobby how to sneak out and get the fireplace logs without being caught by the Indians. She showed Dickie how a lawnmower is really a magic machine that mows down the enemy millions and billions at a time. She taught Max how to take out the ashes without making a sound and without leaving a trace to show the train robbers who were on his trail that he and the sheriff had camped there that night. Mrs. Pigglewiggle certainly knew how to make work fun, and she also knew that there are certain kinds of work that children love to do even though they do not know how very well, like painting and ironing and cooking and carpentry. One day at Mrs. Pigglewiggle's, there were two little girls baking cookies, one little boy baking a pie and getting flour on the floor and eating most of the dough, a little girl ironing in a very wrinkly fashion, all of Mrs. Pigglewiggle's clean clothes, four boys with paint on their faces and feathers in their hair, chopping kindling, two boys painting the dog house, three little girls darning old pirate socks of Mr. Pigglewiggle's, and pirates. Pirates everywhere, digging in the backyard, shooting and yelling, running through the house and grabbing hunks of raw cookie dough. Mrs. Pigglewiggle was sitting over in a corner of the living room sewing on doll clothes. She was wearing the jeweled crown, and Kitty Wheeling was standing beside her throne, which was a chair with a tablecloth draped over it, dipping her hairbrush in a glass of water and making Mrs. Pigglewiggle's hair into long, wet curls. Kitty said, "Your Highness, shall I use the gold or the silver hairpins?" Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, "Oh, let's use the ones with the diamonds in them. Hairdresser, they look better with this crown." Just then the telephone rang, and it was some mother wanting to know what to do with her little girl who wouldn't take a bath. And that is how Mrs. Pigglewiggle got started with her wonderful cures. She told Hubert's mother about the won't pick up toys cure, Patsy's mother about the radish cure, Alan's mother about the slow-eater, tiny-bite-taker cure, Anne and Joan's mother about the fighter-quarreler's cure, Dick's mother about the selfish boy cure, Mary's mother about the answer-backer cure, and Bobby and Larry and Susan's mother about the never-want-to-go-to-bedders cure. Chapter 2. The Won't-Pick-Up-Toys Cure. Hubert was a very lucky little boy whose grandfather always sent him wonderful toys for Christmas. Hubert's mother said that his grandfather sent him these marvelous presents because Hubert was such a dear little boy. His father said that it was to make up for that awful name they had wished on him. Hubert was named for his grandfather. His full name was Hubert Egbert Prentice. Hubert liked the presents his grandfather sent him. But who wouldn't? He had an electric train with a track that went four times around his bedroom and into the closet and out again, and had seven stations and every signal there was, and two bridges and a snow shed. He also had a little builder set so large that he could build regular office buildings, and a great big wagon full of stone blocks made into shapes, so that he could build big stone bridges for his electric train and stone buildings, and even stone barracks for his 1,500 toy soldiers. Hubert also had a circus with every kind of wooden jointed animal and clowns and tightrope walkers and trapeze artists. He had a little typewriter and a real desk and a little radio and two automobiles. He had about 100 or more airplanes and little cars. He had a fire engine with real sirens and lights and hook and ladders and so many books that he had to have two bookcases in his room. Hubert liked all of his toys, and he was moderately generous about letting other children play with them, but he never put his things away. When his mother made his bed, she had to pick her way around in and out and over the electric train track. She had to take circus performers off the bureau and the bedposts. She had to pick up books that had been thrown face down on the floor, and she was continually gathering up the little builder set. It used to take her about 3 hours to do Hubert's room and about 1 hour to do the rest of her housework. She would send Hubert up to put his toys away, but all he ever did was to stuff them under the bed or into the closet, and in the morning when his mother cleaned his room, there they were for her to pick up. Mrs. Prentice was getting a little bored with this. One rainy Saturday, Hubert invited all his little friends to play up in his room. He had Dickie and Charlie and Billy and Tommy and Bobby. They got out every single toy that Hubert owned and played with them, and then just before dinner, they all went home and left the mess. Hubert's mother didn't know a thing about this until the next morning when she went in to make Hubert's bed. Then she just stood in the doorway and looked. The electric train track went under the bed 5 times and under the bureau and under the chairs and around the desk and into the closet. All along the track were bridges and buildings of the stone blocks and whole towns built from the little builder set. On the bed and under the bed and on the bureau were circus tent, the animals, the clowns, the tightrope walkers, and the trapeze artists. The floor was littered with books and little automobiles and airplanes and painting sets and chemical sets and wood-burning sets and crayons and coloring books and the little typewriter and the printing set and teddy bears and balls and jacks and parcheesi games and jigsaw puzzles and soldiers, soldiers, soldiers. Perspiration broke out on Hubert's mother's forehead. She began to feel faint, so she closed the door and slowly went downstairs. She took 2 aspirin tablets and then telephoned her friend, Mrs. Baggs. She said, "Hello, Mrs. Baggs. This is Hubert's mother, and I am so disappointed in Hubert. He has such lovely toys. His grandfather sends them to him every Christmas, you know. But he does not take care of them at all. He just leaves them all over his room for me to pick up every morning." Mrs. Baggs said, "Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Prentice, but I can't help you because I think it's too late." "Why, it's only 9:30, said Hubert's mother. "Oh, I mean late in life," said Mrs. Baggs. "You see, we started Ermentrude picking up her toys when she was 6 months old. A place for everything and everything in its place, we have always told him, Ermentrude. Now she is so neat that she becomes hysterical if she sees a crumb on the floor." "Well, I certainly hope she never sees Hubert's room," said Mrs. Prentice dryly. "She'd probably have a fit." And she hung up the phone. Then she called Mrs. Moohead. "Good morning, Mrs. Moohead," she said. "Does Gregory pick up his toys?" "Well, no, he doesn't," said Mrs. Moohead. "But you know Gregory is rather delicate. And I feel that just playing with his toys tires him so much that I personally see that all of his little friends put the toys away before they go home." "That is a splendid idea," said Hubert's mother, "but I am trying to train Hubert, not his playmates." "Well, of course, Hubert is very strong and healthy, but Gregory is intelligent," said Mrs. Moohead. "Is he?" said Mrs. Prentice crossly, because she resented this inference that her own son was all brawn and no brain. "Oh, dear," squealed Mrs. Moohead. "I think Gregory is running a temperature. I must go to him." She hung up the phone. Mrs. Prentice then called Mrs. Grapple. "Hello, Marge," she said. "How's Susan?" Mrs. Grapple said, "I've spanked her 7 times since breakfast, and I just heard a crash, so she is probably getting ready for another. How's Hubert?" "That's what I called about," said Mrs. Prentice. "Can you suggest a way to make Hubert want to pick up his toys? His room looks like a toy store after an earthquake." "Why don't you call this Mrs. Pigglewiggle? I have heard she is perfectly wonderful. All the children in town adore her, and she has a cure for everything. As soon as I spank Susan, I'm going to call her." Hubert's mother said, "Thank you very much, Marge. That is just what I'll do. I had forgotten about Mrs. Pigglewiggle, but I just know she can help me." So she called Mrs. Pigglewiggle and said, "Mrs. Pigglewiggle, I hate to bother you, but you seem always to know what to do about children, and I'll confess that I don't know what to do to make Hubert put his toys away." Mrs. Piggle Wiggle said, "Hubert is the sweet little boy with all the wonderful toys. His grandfather sends him, isn't he?" Mrs. Prentice said, "Why, yes, but I didn't know that you knew him." "Oh, yes," said Mrs. Piggle Wiggle. "Hubert and I are old friends. In fact, he is building an automobile in my backyard out of orange crates and empty tomato cans. Hubert is a very good carpenter." Hubert's mother thought of the two little automobiles with rubber tires, real horns, leather seats big enough for two boys, and lights that turned on with a switch that Hubert's grandfather had given him, and she wondered why in the world he would want to build an automobile out of old orange crates and tomato cans. She said, however, "So that is what he and Dickie go, where do he and Dickie go every afternoon? I certainly hope he behaves himself." "Oh, he does," said Mrs. Piggle Wiggle. "We are all very fond of Hubert. But this problem of his toys, let me see." Mrs. Piggle Wiggle was quiet for some time. Then she said, "I think that the best thing for you to use is my old-fashioned won't pick up toys cure. Starting now, don't pick up any of Hubert's toys. Don't make his bed. In fact, do not go into his room. When his room becomes so messy he can't get out of it, call me." Mrs. Piggle Wiggle said goodbye and hung up the phone. Hubert's mother, looking very relieved, went gaily about her housework, baked a chocolate cake for dinner, and did not say a word to Hubert when he came home with 10 little boys, and they all trailed upstairs to play in Hubert's room. The next morning, when Hubert came downstairs for breakfast, his mother noticed that he had a little pan of watercolor paint stuck in his hair, and his shirt had purple ink from the printing set on one shoulder. She said nothing, but tripped upstairs after breakfast and quickly shut the door of his room. The next morning, Hubert's mother had a little trouble shutting the door of his room, and she noticed that Hubert had circles under his eyes as though he had not slept very well. The next morning, Hubert was very late coming downstairs, and before he opened his door, his mother heard a great clatter and scraping as though he were moving furniture. He had little builder bolts stuck to his sweater and two paint pans in his hair. He was so sleepy he could barely keep his eyes open, and he had a red mark on one cheek. His mother looked at it closely and saw that it was the shape and size of one of his stone blocks. He must have slept with his head on one of the bridges. On the seventh day, after Hubert's mother stopped putting away his toys, he did not come down to breakfast at all. About 11 o'clock, his mother became worried and called up Mrs. Pigglewiggle. She said, "Good morning, Mrs. Pigglewiggle. This is the seventh day of the old-fashioned won't-pick-up-toys cure, and I am worried. Hubert has not come downstairs at all this morning." Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, "Let me see. The seventh day. It usually takes 10 days, but Hubert has so many toys, he would naturally be quicker." "Quicker at what?" asked Hubert's mother anxiously. "Quicker at getting trapped in his room," said Mrs. Piggle Wiggle. "You see, the reason Hubert hasn't come downstairs is that he cannot get out of his room. Have you noticed anything different about him lately?" "Well," said Hubert's mother, "he looks as though he hadn't been sleeping well. And on the fourth morning he had a red blotch on his cheek, just the shape of one of his stone blocks." Said Mrs. Piggle Wiggle. "He probably can't get at his bed and is sleeping with his head on his blocks for a pillow." "But what will I do?" asked Hubert's mother. "How will I feed him?" "Wait until he calls for food, then tell him to open the window, and you can put a piece of rather dry bread and peanut butter on the garden rake. He will have to drink out of the hose. Tie it to the rake and poke it up to him." When Hubert's mother hung up the telephone, she heard a muffled shouting from the direction of Hubert's room. She hurried upstairs and listened outside the door. Hubert was shouting, "Mother, I'm hungry." His mother said, "Go over and open the window, dear. I will send something up to you on the rake." Mrs. Prentice took the crusty piece of a very old loaf of bread, spread some peanut butter on it, and took it around to the side of the house. Pretty soon Hubert's window was raised about a foot, and a hand and arm appeared. His mother stuck the bread on one of the tines of the rake and poked it up at the window. The hand groped around for a while and then found the bread and jerked it off. The window banged shut. That night when Hubert's father came home, his mother told him all about Mrs. Pigglewiggle's treatment. Hubert's father said, "Mrs. Pigglewiggle sounds all right, but none of this would have happened if Hubert's grandfather hadn't given him so many toys. When I was a boy, all I needed to have was a good time with a little piece of string and a stick. Why, I, Mrs. Prentice said, not that old string and stick routine again, John. Anyway, now that Hubert has hit the toys, the picture has changed. Mr. Prentice had hid his face behind the evening paper and said, something smells delicious. Is it Irish stew, I hope? Yes, dear, said Hubert's mother, worrying about how she was going to serve Irish stew to Hubert on a rake. She finally put a potato on one prong, a carrot on another, an onion on another, and pieces of meat on the last three. The window was opened only about 3 inches, but the hand grabbed the food. After dinner, Hubert's father tied the hose to the rake and held it up while Hubert put his mouth to the window opening and tried to get a drink of water. It was not very successful, but he managed to get a few drops. Mrs. Prentice was worried. The next morning, she knocked on Hubert's door and said, Hubert, what are you doing in there? Hubert said, I've got a bear pen made out of bureau drawers, and my bed's the mother bear's house, and my train runs under my bed 13 times now. Hubert, dear, don't you think you should try and come out soon? Asked his mother. Hubert said, I don't want to come out. I like it in here. All my toys are out, and I can play with them any old time I wanna. This is fun. His mother went downstairs and called Mrs. Pigglewiggle. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, oh, but he will want to come out. Wait and see. That afternoon, about 2 o'clock, there was music on the street and children's voices laughing and calling, and pretty soon, right past Hubert's house, marched Mrs. Pigglewiggle and all the children, and right behind them came the circus parade. Hubert managed, by putting one foot in a bureau drawer and the other in a freight car of his train, to get up to the window and look out. He waved to Mrs. Pigglewiggle, and she called, hurry, hurry, Hubert. We are going to march all over town, and then we are all going to the circus. Hubert turned around quickly with the idea of getting to the door and joining the fun, but the freight car went scooting under the bed, and the bureau drawer tipped over and hit him smartly on the shins. Hubert began to cry and try and kick his way to the door, but everything he kicked seemed to hit back. He kicked a building and a big block fell on his toe. He kicked a little builder office building and it fell over and clouded him on the back of the head. He kicked a book and it hit a lamp, which fell and knocked a heavy wooden elephant off the bedpost onto Hubert's shoulder. He could hear the music of the circus parade growing fainter and fainter, and so he bawled louder and louder. Then he heard a tapping at his window. Crawled over and reached out. It was the rake with a note on it. He took the note and opened it. It said, the only way you can get out of that trap is to put everything away where it belongs. If you hurry, we will wait for you. Your friend, Mrs. Pigglewiggle. Hubert began by finding the little builder box. He took down an office building and put each piece in its right place. Then he put away the stone blocks, then the train tracks, the circus, the soldiers, the paints, the chemical set, the printing press, the books, the fire engines, the automobiles. He played little games, pretending that he was racing someone to see who could find the most parts of a game the quickest. He had to take off the bedclothes and shake them in order to find the soldiers and the circus, and then he thought that as long as the bedclothes were off anyway, he might as well make his bed. It was so lumpy. When he finished, he thought he had left some airplanes in it and took the covers off again and shook them. He made the bed again, and this time it was neat and smooth. Hubert was proud. He was under his desk finding the last piece of the little builder when he heard the music again. He put the piece in the box, put the box in the closet, and tore down the stairs and out the front door. There they came, Mrs. Pigglewiggle, all the children, and the circus! Hubert turned out to meet them, and nobody said anything about the pan of orange paint stuck in his hair or the word zip gun printed on his cheek in purple ink. Away they went down the street, Hubert carrying the flag and yelling the loudest.